You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcasts. And what a racing podcast this is going to be. I don't want to big it up too much, but this could be the best we've ever had. Alex Dunn and Gary Capewell here, which does temper enthusiasm.
I was going to say, you were setting me up for a fail to begin with.
Yeah.
I don't know what I can do to make it otherwise. Tell a few jokes or something, maybe.
Having heard your jokes, Gary, I'd suggest that's not the way to...
No. To be fair, I would probably say the same.
Yes. We do have some good racing to look forward to, though. So that's
yes,
nice, isn't it?
Yes, that's very nice.
We've had a cracking week on Town Moor, the William Hill St Ledger Festival, and it culminates on Saturday with the William Hill St Ledger, unsurprisingly.
The world's oldest classic.
It is indeed. And it's a really... Well, I don't know. Is it a good renewal or is it an interesting renewal? I don't want to get too much into it because we're going to talk about a different race first, but...
I would say both, actually. Because I think we've seen a bit of a renaissance in recent years of this race, and obviously the effect that the breeding industry has taken with quite a lot of the winners becoming good, well, jump sires, really, quite a lot of them, haven't they? You think the likes of Milan, and there have been many others that have won the Ledger and gone on to become mainly, or decent flat sires as well, but mainly jump sires. But I think we're seeing the commercial benefits more. The fact that Aidan O'Brien takes the race a lot more seriously now, obviously Godolphin do as well. You've just got to look through the last few winners, really. They were good, strong stayers. And, yeah, I think sort of maybe 15, 20 years ago, you came into the race with a horse that you thought might stay and would possibly get away with it. Now, I think the race has changed completely. Mm. You need to be classy, but primarily you need to stay. That is the key attribute that wins you the Ledger, as we saw with Harbour Law a couple of years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have more on the Ledger shortly. But we're going to start by talking about the first race on the Doncaster card on Saturday. It's a very busy Saturday racing to look forward to from, well, among others, Chester, Bath, Chelmsford. We've got Lingfield, we've got Musselboro, we've got Leopardstown, we've got a couple of Group 1s over at Leopardstown. Of course, the Irish Champion Stakes and the Matron Stakes as well to look forward to. And there's more top quality racing, by the way, on Sunday over in Ireland at the Curragh as well. So
8 meetings tomorrow, including the Stole.
Yeah, going to be busy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm in the presenter's chair tomorrow.
Oh, that's all right then.
I don't think I'll be doing much talking.
You won't be doing much talking. You'll be known as the fader man.
Yes, quite possibly. I think we'll ditch Lestole. I think we'll try and take the rest, which could be...
It could be fun.
Could be busy.
Musselboro doesn't start till 3 o'clock, does it? And
no, it's twilight.
There's no night meeting either.
No, Musselboro and Leopardstown are the...
Oh, you've had a right result. Finish at 7:10.
Hey, there's nobody in, though. Everyone's off at the Ledger.
Yeah, I'm there, so...
Exactly, there you go.
But I'm working.
Yeah. A likely story.
Where's Bobby Beavers when you need him?
He's there as well.
Is he?
Yeah.
The Portland for ITV, no doubt.
The William Hill Portland Handicap coming up at 1:50. It's the first race we're going to talk about. It's over, well, just shy of six in the end. It's the extended five, if you will.
5.5 it is, officially.
Yes. 143 yards, the added extras.
Which is a bit extra than 5.5.
It is, isn't it? Put it this
23
way,
yards could make a difference.
If I was looking at it, I'd be one and a horse that stayed six.
Yes, particularly with the way that the track rides at Doncaster as well.
Yeah.
I would suggest that is probably a good thing. Well, we're recording this before racing on Friday, but from what we saw of the racing at Doncaster yesterday, they didn't want to really... I mean, one of the winners did come up against the stand side running grail, that thing of Mick Appleby's that looks about two or three stone well in.
Yeah.
But what I would say is that primarily they wanted to stick to the centre, so on that basis I would suggest that perhaps a low to middle draw is perhaps going to be favoured.
Well, as we speak, we've got a market leader in the form of Holmeswood. Holmeswood's 5-1. It's 9-1 Dakota Gold. Golden Apollo's 11-1. 12-1 for Open Wide. You Don't Know Do You is 12s. 14-1 then for Tis Marvelous, Orvar and Encrypted, and 16s and Bigger the Rest. I suppose we have to start with Holmeswood, who I backed last time at York, and it ran a cracking race, but it was on the right side of the track.
Yeah.
But it was behind Elastronaut and Final Venture, who both ran in the Scarborough Stakes, I think.
They did, yeah. And finished... one was second, I think. Final Venture was maybe third.
Yeah.
This horse obviously hasn't won for a while. He won at the York meeting last year. That was his last victory back in August of 2017.
Final Venture fifth, by the way.
Fifth. Okay.
Second and fifth, yeah.
Yeah. This horse, he ran in the Gosforth Park Cup back in June, finished seventh. Went to York a couple of times after that, finished sixth and third, respectively. Obviously third last time out, as you point out, in that big field, and beaten, what, a length and a quarter just over in the end. As I say, hasn't won for a while, but that mark's going back down to somewhere reasonable, a mark of 91 here. Also was an entry in the William Hill Air Gold Cup, this horse. So maybe connection to thinking a little bit further ahead, but... Mm. Maybe a worthy favourite, but the price is, I suppose, with 22 of them.
I was going to say, looks pretty short.
You'd be happy to take him on.
Yeah. With what, then? Because I was going to go through a few of them, but we could be here for a very long time.
We could be. I'll spin through a couple of them. Obviously, the booking of Ryan Moore takes the eye on the top one, Tis Marvellous, who won at the Sugar Cup meeting. Didn't run so well at York last time out, but they've gone to the trouble of booking Ryan Moore. That said, the final year mark of 105 and top weight won't be easy. Savalas has been in Fair Nick as well. Will be a little bit disappointing at York last time out. The cheap piece has gone for the first time. Be a tough ask for a three-year-old, though, I should imagine, in this particular contest. Others that are seemingly fairly well found in the market include Orvar for Paul Midgley. This horse won last time out. That came here 4 weeks ago. Rob Hornby, who's got obviously a big ride in the ledger later on, takes the ride. I think that one's quite interesting. As to open wide for Andrea Rizzini towards the bottom of the weights, this horse who's got eye shields on for the first time, a good second at Ascot just the other week. So there are plenty to consider. Dakota Gold would have to be another one. This is another horse who's been in good form. Finished third behind Musica last time out. That was just over a fortnight ago. That pair re-opposed each other. Dakota Gold was favourite that day. So I think he's got a good chance. But what I quite like is the Tim Easterby trained runner, Golden Apollo. This is a horse who's won here before. David Allen takes the ride. Fairly well drawn, we hope, towards the inside in stall six. It's another one who's won here previously. Managed to win here back at the back end of 2000 and the 2016 season. As I say, did win last year at Ascot. Tends to run quite well in these big field sprints. Primarily has been campaigned at York quite a lot of the last runs. Finished 8th and 9th there, eighth and 4th there respectively, and indeed 5th earlier on in the season. Ran in the Gosforth Park Cup as well, finished 5th. Second at York, actually I think finished in front of Holmeswood earlier on in the season, and the dash there back on the 28th of July. I was only beaten in neck actually that day by Flying Pursuit. Bit disappointing in the great St Wilfrid, the William Hill great St Wilfrid, but I'm happy to forgive him that run. He was drawn in stall 9 that day, though, when a gunmetal came up against the near side running rail, from memory, didn't he? So at a track that we know that he likes, he too also actually has an entry in the William Hill Air Gold Cup in the coming weeks.
We've got these sprint handicaps down to a nicety, sponsorship wise, haven't we? Cranky.
Yeah, fair play to the sponsorship team.
I was going to say, guns blazing.
Exactly. I'm happy to go for Golden Apollo. Drawn well, likes the track, and yard in fair form. So Golden Apollo, they're picking the William Hill Portland handicap.
Okay. Just interesting to note that the five past winners of this race have all been trained down south. Paul Darcy,
really?
Ed Walker, Roger Varian, Willie Haggis, Charles Hills.
Ooh,
and they've all been shorter than 16 to 1 as well. And they've all been drawn in a double-figure stall. So there you
there
are.
There we go.
Off the top of my head, that points to open wide. Amanda Perrett.
Yeah,
in 13, and is a four-year-old as well. Three of them have been four-year-olds.
There we go. We've got an Apollo's four as well.
Yeah, there you go. So just something to ponder in a very tricky-looking Portland handicap. That's coming up at 150. Gary taking a chance with Golden Apollo for Tim Easterby. Right, the 335 is the William Hill St. Ledger. Betting at the time of recording, which, as Gary mentioned, is around about 1:20, on Friday, Latidar 7-4, 9-4 Kew Gardens, Old Persian 8-1, 10-1 for Loxley, DXB is 12s, 14s for Southern France, Raymond Tusk is 20s, 25s for the Pentagon and Made Up, 50s for Nelson, Proschema is 66s, and Zabriskie is 100-1, and the outsider of the field. All the talk this week has been around Latidar. She was not,
yes.
Well, she was second favourite. She's now comfortably favourite, and from what I can gather from the traders out in the office, likely to go off probably a little bit shorter than the 7-4 currently available.
I would imagine so. Obviously, you know, Saturday, big Saturday race. People see Frankie de Torres on the favourite. They're gonna get involved, aren't they? She's unbeaten, of course. She won at Newbury earlier on in the season. Then she won the that race at the Guineas meeting. Very impressively. Obviously, she had a little bit of a niggle. She missed the Oaks, but she was very impressive in the Galtra Stakes at York on her most recent outing. First time she's tried this trip. The way that she goes through a race, you wouldn't say it would be an issue.
Mm.
There's obviously a lot to like about her. They were obviously thinking she was good enough to have a crack at the Arc with. They still might, of course, but they were talking about running her in one of the trial races for that race this weekend. I think it was the Vermeil that was perhaps mooted as a potential race for her. But for me, deserves to be favourite on potential as well. There's a lot more untapped potential to come from her. She's 15. What did she say? She's 7-4 with us.
7-4, yeah.
That's short enough, and I'm happy to pass her over.
Okay, Kew Gardens then 9-4 is, well, it's, okay, is tailor made for the trip. Let's say that,
yeah.
Because I don't want to sound derogatory. I like the horse, but he is slow.
He wouldn't be the quickest. Let's put it that way. Obviously, he finished ninth in the Derby. He was second in the Linkfield Derby trial prior to that. He then obviously won the Queen's Vase at Royal Ascot, which is over this trip.
Mm.
Then he went back in trip and won the Group 1 race at Longshore on Bastille there, that wasn't potentially, I suppose, the strongest renewal of said race. And then he came from a good way back in the Voltigeur Stakes on his most recent outing. He was beaten, a length and a half just over on that occasion. Old Persian, who obviously beat him on that occasion, reopposes here, but they're off level weights this time around. I think Kew Gardens was carrying a penalty in that race, so he carried a bit more weight. Neither here nor there, really, I suppose. But as I say, the Longcombe Straight here is perfect for him. As we've seen with some of the other recent winners that Aidan O'Brien has had in this race, they've gone down that staying route before they came into this race. I mean, Aidan's got, five in the race?
Mm.
So he's throwing enough darts at it, to be fair. But for me, as I say, he's the one that's the only one that's confirmed to get the trip. And for me, that counts for a lot, especially come those final two films, because they're going to go a decent gallop here. Aidan O'Brien will make sure of that.
Yeah,
that's why there's five horses in there. It could easily help Latidar as well, but for me, if it comes down to who's going to stay the trip out the best, for me it'll be Kew Gardens. He's won his Group 1 over a mile and a half, so we know that he can be quick enough. I think he's the value at the current prices. This horse was obviously favourite for the race before Latidar. They announced that she was going to go for this instead of one of the trials over in France.
Ratings-wise, Old Persian comes out on top on official ratings, 117.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he won at Royal Ascot, didn't he? Won the King Edward the 7th Stakes, I think it was, beating Rostropovich. After that, he was 6th in the Irish Derby. And, of course, he won the Great Voltigeur on his most recent outing, giving a good ride that day, actually, from James Doyle. Obviously, he's the highest rated in the lineup, and I suppose you could say on that basis 8-1 or whatever price he is with us might be a little bit on the large side. But, I'd be disappointed if Kew Gardens over this longer trip
haul him back.
Can't reverse that form.
Loxley's been showing fair form as well over in France, winning at Deauville. Well, better than fair form, I think it's fair to say. Winning the Grand Prix de Deauville last time.
Yep.
For Charlie Appleby. And is 10-1 next in. Is the Well, I was going to say it's the Godolphin second string, but it isn't really. It's just another Godolphin horse.
Another good Godolphin horse.
Yeah.
Clearly a late bloomer. He didn't make his debut, this horse, until the middle of October last year. He won, obviously, at Goodwood, and they thought him good enough to run in the Racing Post Trophy after that. He finished seventh. He obviously had a bit of time away. He then made a winning reappearance at Newmarket back in the middle of June. Finished second in the Bahrain Trophy when the winner, Wells Fargo, was given a very enterprising ride. He then won a listed race comfortably over at Deauville, the Nureyev Stakes, in the middle of August. And then just a couple of weeks ago, he won that Group 2 Grand Prix, the Deauville, by two lengths impressively from Master Spirit. Again, it's another step up in grade. Again, he's got a step forward again, but he's only had the six career starts, so that could easily be forthcoming for a trainer who's obviously won the race. Has he won? No, he hasn't. Sorry, of course he hasn't. But, you know, we know that this horse is getting better and better with each run. This is obviously going to require a huge career best. But, you know, the fact that his trainer's willing to let him take his chance means it obviously thinks he's up to it.
And one more to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
DXB, who also, ratings-wise, would have a squeak, is rated 114, has not won for quite a long time now, but just keeps running solid races. And this step-up in trip has been talked about for about 4 months now.
Yeah, very much so. And at this source, when he was second, when he was second in the Derby, obviously he'd ran in one of the trials at Chester and was third in the Derby trial at Epsom prior to that. He was seventh then in the Irish Derby, finished third behind Kew Gardens in the Grand Prix, the Paris, beaten, I think, four odd lengths or so in the end. And obviously finished behind Cross Counter in the Gordon Stakes at Glorious Goodwood. Obviously Cross Counter has gone on to frank that form, winning the Voltage or so. The form's got a fairly solid look to it. The trip will definitely suit. You would say that after that Derby second, you were hoping you would sort of kick on a little bit from then. It hasn't come. Obviously, it might well help that he's going up in trip. But for me, you'd be slightly disappointed if he was good enough. That said, I suppose he's had 6 weeks off, so you know all the others have run within the last 3 or 4 weeks, so he might just come here and look. He's slightly fresh, if you see what I mean, because he's had a 6 or 7 week break. But then again, he had had a lot of runs, quite a lot of runs and hard races.
A busier season, but then a little bit of a rest before what could be the big one.
Yes, that is true. That is true.
Okay. Anything else to mention? Because, I mean, we could feasibly do a spotlight on every single horse. I mean, the Pentagon, I'm still convinced that's not just a pacemaker in these kind of races.
Yeah.
Is no back number, but does have a fair bit of form to reverse. That York run last time was behind Old Persian, was behind Kew Gardens. Did finish ahead of Nelson and Zabriskie, but they're stablemates.
Yeah, very much so. There was obviously a lot of talk about this horse. I think it's a two-year-old and it hasn't really gone on. But the one that I think is potentially overpriced, maybe from an each-way point of view, is the Richard Hannon-trained runner, Raymond Tusk. Now, this horse won at Hamilton. I think it was the Braveheart Stakes back in July. Prior to that, they'd obviously taken a big chance running him in the Eclipse.
It was a Glasgow Stakes, it was.
Glasgow Stakes, beg your pardon, sorry. And then he was second in the Jeffreys Freer Stakes against, you know, the older horses on his most recent outing. He stayed on in the closing stages of that day. I think the track will suit, and again, I think the trip will definitely suit. So there's usually one that fills the frame at a biggish price, because there's always bound to be one or two disappointments. That's just the nature of the race for me. If there's one to cause an upset, for me, it's Raymond Tusk.
Okay. But Kew Gardens for win purposes.
Kew Gardens for win purposes.
There you go, then. That's at 3:35, the William Hill St. Ledger. I said that this would be the best podcast ever. I think we'll have to wait until tomorrow to see if it is.
I think that's, in terms of recent efforts, that's probably one of my better ones.
That's not difficult, though, is it?
No.
No. So to sum up, in the Ledger,
Kew Gardens,
and in the Portland,
Golden Apollo.
There you go. Gary Capel, everybody. Enjoy the William Hill St. Ledger, and join us again tomorrow for another William Hill Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.